John 12 and verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Thank you again for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Always a joy to minister the Lord's Word, and as you may well know, always a joy to return to John's Gospel. And I hope that this word on the closing events of the Lord Jesus before his hidden ministry with his disciples prior to his arrest, that this will reveal who Jesus really is and how he ministered in his time. Every time we open our mouths and speak, we reveal who we are. Our words betray us. They will let others know what kind of thinking, what kind of heart we have, and what our desires are. And here in the Lord Jesus' ministry, we learn of the Savior's great passion. He was determined to do the work of the ministry. And that determination flows into the heart of every born-again Christian. We are determined that we will serve the Lord and that we will glorify Him. And that becomes the burden of every true believer in the Lord Jesus. And I hope that today that you will continue to listen in as the Lord Jesus recaps and as He restates the purpose of His ministry. Wouldn't it be a good thing for us to write down, even in one or two short sentences, the purpose of our Christian living? Let that be our goal today, and I invite you to stay with us through the program as, from the pulpit of our church, we let the Bible speak.
Message here, and we're looking at these last verses, which we already read together, and we're progressing on in the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, this section which we read is really the last public ministry of the Lord Jesus in the broader sense to the Jews, to all the public audience that He was preaching to. Because as you see in chapter 13, that you have the Passover, and then that leads on to those personal interviews with His disciples right up to His arrest. And so this is the last public ministry of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem, in that broader open sense to all who would hear and all who would listen. Now, verses 44 to 50 are referred to by some as a summary of all the life ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that these are referred to as the words of Christ. Some have the opinion that those verses 44 to 50 are really the Apostle John's summary, gathering up all the statements and all the references, the words of the Lord Jesus, into one compact summary of all that Jesus taught. Now, I have my doubts about that. I think that this is really the Lord coming out on a separate day, on a separate occasion, and stating these things that you read in verse 44. Because we read earlier that the Lord hid Himself. Go back to verse 36. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid Himself from them. So that was the end of that discourse. That was the end of that period of ministry. And then John comes in with, well, in my red letter Bible, black writing, back text. These are the words of John, the writer here, and he's expounding and explaining certain things. And then down in verse 44, you have it said, Jesus cried and said. So He's now back on the stage again to preach. And this word cried carries the same force as when the Lord cried out on the cross. You know, those many cries of Christ from the cross. This word cried, it's like heralding for all to hear. And so in my opinion, these last verses, 44 to 50, are the words of Jesus Himself. And they are His final closing words to the Jewish nation and all who would hear Him concerning believing on Him, the blessings of believing on Him, or the rejection of Him and the judgment that that will bring. And so these are very, very terse words. They are certainly words that we are to take to heart, and we are to take them very seriously. Now, it's not dark, because in this passage, way back there in verse 35, the Lord says, walk while ye have the light. And of course, Jesus Himself is the light of the world. And He speaks to His disciples that they are to use that light, walk in it, because it talks about darkness coming. Lest darkness come upon you. I hope you see that in verse 35, about three lines down in that verse 35. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. What a fearful statement. Now, that would be like a parent saying to their children coming from some event Now you come straight home because darkness is going to come down. There's an hour when you will not have light to see your way. And that darkness is coming as sure as anything. And the Lord is saying to this people, walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come. And darkness is coming. And that was a wake-up call to all who would hear him at that very time. Now, the impact of that statement of the Lord, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, it seems that John, the author here, he takes up the need to explain that. And of course, as you know, I always like it when I find in the Bible when, you know, the next verse or two explains that statement. And so John, the writer, he begins to talk about Isaiah and how he prophesied that the Lord would be rejected. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And they will reject him. You look at that verse, how he quotes from Isaiah 53, verse 1, right there in verse 38. Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. He hath blinded their eyes. Now I must say that in my study of this passage, that I was perturbed. How can we ever say that the Lord Jesus blinds the eyes of sinners? How can we ever say that the Lord makes it more difficult for anyone to hear or understand the gospel? Surely he came into the world to be the light of the world. Surely he came, as he said himself, not to judge, but to save. In what manner can we talk about the Lord blinding eyes? Well, there is a judicial blindness. There is an act of God after many opportunities, after many times when people hear the gospel, they have the light, but then the darkness comes in. They have the truth and they do nothing with it or reject it. And they're not walking in the light. They're not using the light. So that the darkness comes upon them, spiritually speaking. Now, that happened to the Jewish people. They had for centuries the Word of God. They had all the prophets preaching to them. They had the benefits of a heritage of truth. But now that the Lord Jesus was come, he came into the world as the light, but they did not respect him nor receive him. Indeed, he came unto his own, and his own received them not. And so they were judicially blinded. Darkness came down upon them. Now, this explains something else. How come the 3-year ministry of the Lord Jesus ended in such a small little following? That almost appears like failure. How come the crowds diminished? Where did all the people go that were on the mountainside when the Lord performed miracles? And in spite of all the miracles that Jesus performed, many did not believe on him. That sounds like failure. How did that happen? Well, if we did not have the prophecy of Isaiah, if we did not have this prophecy predicting that few would hear his report, few would believe on him, then we would not know why the Lord had so few followers. But the prophecy and the fulfillment of the Lord's ministry at this point, at the end of his 3 years near his crucifixion, they come together, they dovetail, they agree. And just as Isaiah prophesied that there would be a judicial blindness, a coming of darkness upon that nation, where the vast majority would reject the very Savior that God sent into the midst, this now is fulfilled in this last week when the Lord is betrayed, he is rejected and crucified. This all comes together. Now, you might still be asking, in what way then does the Lord bring this darkness upon people? In what way are eyes blinded? Well, we read a very dramatic account of Pharaoh, whose heart the Lord hardened. Now, that's a history way back in the book of Exodus of Israel coming out of Egypt. And when every miracle, every judgment that was brought upon them was carried out, Pharaoh only hardened his heart more and more and more. Now, Romans tells us that God hardened his heart. How does that happen? Well, it simply allows him his own way. Remove the light and allow him to walk in darkness. That happened to Pharaoh. It happened to the Jewish nation when this blindness was upon them. And we know that at the end of the world, there will be this delusion that will fall upon the nations. And we're living in a day when multitudes of people are deluded. They look for other Christs, other saviors, other philosophies, but they do not see that Jesus Christ is the true and only Son of God. And therefore, they live rejecting the Lord Jesus. And so this whole passage is a tremendous wake-up call. It is a warning that if we do not use the light, then we will be left in darkness. And if we preach to sinners who are not saved, to those who are not Christians, we would say to each of them, perhaps to you today if you're not a Christian, you must use the light. You must come to the Savior, or you will fall into darkness. Now that brings me to the message today that I know was a rather involved introduction, but I felt it necessary to try and explain some of these deep, dark issues that are in this passage, especially in a passage where Jesus talks about he's the light of the world. Now the first thing that I will bring you as part of the message here today is that all Christians are called to walk as children of light. And I want to take you back to verse 35, 36 to see these words of the Lord. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And so this is very clear. The Lord is saying to any who would follow him, any who would enjoy his grace and salvation, that they are to come out of the darkness. They are to leave every unbelief, every denial of the Savior, and they are to look to the Lord Jesus as the light of the world, the one who will give them light. And this truth will never fail. And praise God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still today the light of the world. And by a Christian following, looking to Jesus, we can walk in the light. And so we're to cling to it. Yes, we are to cling to it tenaciously as a clag to a horse, cling to it. As a starfish to a rock, cling to the Lord Jesus. He is the light of the world. And of course, we're to preach it. That is the great work of the Christian church today in this world of confusion and hopelessness. One of the things I learned at that town hall meeting last night was this terrible sense of hopelessness that is upon the vast multitude of people, and especially those who hit health issues and end-of-life issues. There is no hope. And when people have no hope, nothing to live for, well, they just choose death. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And this is what happens when people reject God. Without God in your life, you have no hope. You have no purpose. You have no value. And so it is the Christian who has this marvelous sense that I am in Christ, I am believing in God and His Word, and I therefore can live walking in the light. There's a life of purpose for you. There's a reason to live. That when you get up in the morning, a reason to rouse yourself and start your day with a sense that this day will count for God today and eternity. That's a wonderful thing to have. And to walk in the light. And so our whole demeanor, our walk, our talk, our conversation, our attitude with people, our whole attitude to life is one. I'm to shine for Jesus. Let the light of the world shine through you. What a great life to live. It's a blessed life. And of course, we're to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. That comes to our separation under the gospel. If you turn to Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 8, you will see this admonition, the warning that is given by the apostle as he speaks to these Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, who are the children of disobedience? That's the worldling. That's the person who says, I must have my pleasure. I must have my way. And they want to be autonomous. And it was discussed last night at that meeting as well that where we're at in this whole matter of euthanasia is because of this philosophy of man's own autonomy. He has the right to govern himself. No one has the right to tell him what to do or what not to do, and who you are or what you are not. And in that, there is this rebellion to God. They become the children of disobedience. But in verse 7, you'll see how the Christian is to deal with this. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We're to come out and be separate. We're to walk as children of light. We're not to be in false religion. We're not to be following the ways of the world that are anti-Christ and anti-God. If you can't pray about it, if you can't tell others that you want to follow God in the matter, well, we're to be apart from that. Be not ye therefore partakers. And then, of course, while ye have the light. Now, praise God, in Canada, we have still light. The gospel is not shut down yet. And the door is open to preach the gospel across this country. We're thankful for that. But let us make use of that light and let us walk in that light. I read an article on Sermon Audio news section that in China, 2019 was the year of increased persecution. Indeed, the organization, I think their name is Open Doors, is their name, and they put out their 2020 report, and they stated that in 2019, 8 Christians laid down their lives under persecution every day. Every day in 2019. And they marked that as an increase of 6% over the years before. And China in particular. And they said that in many countries, there are about 260 million Christians who face persecution on a regular basis. That's around this world. And yet in the midst of this world, we are called upon to walk in the light, lest darkness fall upon you. Now, let's look at our own lives and ask, am I walking in the light? Am I making the light of the gospel to shine through my life? Do others know that I am a Christian? Do I use the opportunities the Lord gives to be witnesses for Christ. That's the call that the Lord makes right here.
My fellow believer, I exhort you today to stand up for the Lord Jesus and for the Word of God in these times. Canada needs the gospel, and Canada needs the purity and the power of the Word of God. Would you go to your minister and talk to him about preaching the whole counsel of God in these times, to warn men of the wrath of God upon all sin, and to call sinners to faith in the Lord Jesus? If you are in a church where you cannot do that, then I would say it is time to seek a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. It's time to come out from the ways of darkness, that you may let your light shine. And so on Sunday mornings, do not enter into places of darkness, but rather seek a ministry that is with the whole counsel of God, where the name of the Lord Jesus is honored and his word is expounded. And whether the preacher is strong or the preacher is weak, if he is preaching the Bible in all its fullness, you've got the right message with the right Savior, and I trust with the right burden. And let us be in prayer that God will send us a revival of true Bible gospel preaching in this land of Canada. Join with me to pray for that. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this great example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we are called to let our light shine before men in this darkened world. O Lord, put thy Spirit within us, give us oil in our lamps, and make us to burn brightly before a darkened age. Lord, remember those who sit in darkness, and bring them to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his great and wonderful name. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca/Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.